think that's the wrong song. Is that Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, Brother Roy? Did I put the wrong song in there? Oh, that's my fault. I put the wrong song in there. Go to the next one, ladies. We're on to the next one, too. I am resolved up there? Good. Here we go. I am resolved no longer to linger, turn by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. To the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he had the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come.
You to 52 weeks of hard labor, and then we'll give you a day off next year, okay? No, we're glad all of our mothers had a good day. I hope it really was, and appreciate you guys very much. Go ahead and be seated. I want to take care of some missionary business right quick. As you guys know, we mentioned a few weeks ago, Saipan was hit by a major typhoon and just dealt a horrible blow, and our missionaries, the McClures, are over there. Terry McClure and Gloria McClure were their sending church, and so for to a great degree we're responsible for helping them more so than other churches would be, and finally got enough information about what their situation is to see that we need to make a move financially to help them, and then keep our finger on the pulse and probably do some more in the future. But there's still the whole areas without electricity and water. There is some running water got back up. They did get some available to the church, and the church has begun to minister to the surrounding area with the water source they have, which is a good thing to be able to minister in that way. They're really running off of battery power on their like power tools, and even fans in the house are run off battery, and just a very tough situation. They're not starving to death, and they're not suffering, but they're you know, the whole region there is in crisis, and so a crisis is a great opportunity for Christians to shine and have a lot of outreach. And so Terry and Gloria, I know them from having been on the field with them before in Jamaica, that they will fly into action. I know that. And their health is not what it used to be, but they'll do what they can. So with that being said, I was able to get with the trustees about this and get a recommendation, or I made a recommendation, and they felt like it was the same. They were in agreement. And so we were looking at trying to send them $5,000 right now. And we'll just vote on that in just a second. But and then, like I say, we'll just kind of keep a watch on it, stay in touch with them, and if we need to do more in the future, and I'm quite sure we will, then we will we'll try to do that. But we'll bring that before you when that time comes. You know, the money, we obviously we're not, you know, covered up with money, but the money's available. And we've always been in the mindset around here, you know, to keep it recycled, doing ministry, and we don't build a big nest egg or anything else. And so let's put that money to good work. If that's something you guys would agree with, I'll entertain a motion from anyone right here, Brother Jerry Cooper in a second, Mr. Randy Roberts back there. All in favor, say amen. Amen. Any opposition? By the way, I should have asked, is there any questions? Anybody, any questions about any of it? Okay, God will bless it, no doubt about that, and we'll get that money to them. And I'm going to have one more project. I'm going to, this person, whoever takes this on, is going to be on, need to be on their taking care of their business, because there'll be a lot involved with this. But we're going to be needing, based on the information I got from Terry, I need to recruit a person that'll take responsibility to get a particular Bible. They're getting they're ministering to a lot of Chinese people, and there's a Chinese, particular Chinese Bible that they're needing a bunch of. And under their circumstances, for whatever reason, they can't get them shipped to them. It would be easier to have them ordered and received here, and then shipped priority from here to Saipan. And so it's going to be kind of a little, not a terrible undertaking, but it'll be somebody that has time and would be interested in helping with that. I don't, right now we won't do that, but just catch me if you have some interest, and I'm sure there'll be somebody, we'll get that taken care of. Let me lead us in prayer, and we'll turn it right back to Brother David. Father, thank you for the blessing and the privilege, Lord, to be a part of these missionaries' lives. We have so many good missionaries across the globe that we're supportive of, and Lord, that we're that it really work together with, Lord, and partnership with them, and God, the McClures have been long, you know, second generation, third generation missionaries now, and you've blessed them, and Lord, we know that they're in a difficult situation over there. We're thankful that there wasn't a great amount of loss of life in that situation, but there was a lot of destruction, Father, as you well know. And so, God, just let each dollar that goes over there from us or anywhere else be put to good use for ministry, that souls might be saved, that that the Christians could be a shining light in that particular region. And we pray, God, for resources beyond what we're sending. We pray that you'd lay upon the hearts of churches across the nation to do the same thing, and that Terry and Gloria could just move forward, not lacking resources, just elbow grease and time. And Father, we just thank you for bringing us together tonight. Bless Brother David as he preaches to us, and we'll give thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by, face to face all peaceful moments, face to face to see.
First of all, next Sunday is going to be our senior day. We're going to introduce or honor and recognize the three graduates. We have high school graduates in our youth group, Kalisha Havens, Jazz Wilburn, and Dagon Parker, all three graduating from high school. And so I say that to say this, it's not a full-blown service for them, but we are going to recognize them, and we'll give them a gift from the church. And if you would like to give a gift, obviously you can do that on your own. But if you want to just contribute and have it added to the whatever we give them from the church, you feel free to drop it in an envelope and just make notation which graduate, or if it's just a contribution to the graduates, we'll divide it between all three, okay? And so just put it on the envelope so that'll get to the right place. And then next week, Slayton Senior Citizen is going to be having a country breakfast. That's next Saturday, May the 16th. That's from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And going to be a full-blown breakfast for $5. Biscuits, sausage, gravy, scrambled eggs, hash browns, the whole nine yards. Very, very, very inexpensive way to eat breakfast and a great way to contribute. We work hand-in-hand with them, you know, doing Meals on Wheels. It's definitely a worthy cause, and they're always in need of resources. So go eat breakfast with them, give them some money, donate $5 a plate to eat, whatever you can do, and that will be blessed. And beyond that, we'll be having Young at Heart on Tuesday, 10:30. Come play games with us, have a meal around noon, potluck. It'll be good. Okay, Brother David.
All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 3. We're going to take a break from my series that I've been preaching since it's Mother's Day, and I want to preach a Mother's Day message tonight. And so we're going to look at this passage, probably one of the least likely passages you'd bring a Mother's Day message from, but as I was studying this week, God laid this upon my heart. Y'all get lucky. This will be the last time in May I preach. You won't get to hear me for 3 more weeks, so it'll be a good time to come to Martha over saying amen. but yes, Wills will be singing for us next week, and then CJ and I will be here, but we'll be going to North Carolina to see our oldest daughter graduate, and then the next week we'll be having a potluck meal, end of the month, a fifth Sunday potluck meal, and then June the 7th, so you get a little reprieve. Let's look at this passage tonight, verse number 16. We'll begin reading there, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Then came there two women, that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half of the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. This chapter is perhaps one of the more famous chapters in the Bible. Whether you would be a Christian or a non-Christian, most people knows about this story. Now, this story is the main thing teaching us that God is going to give Solomon wisdom. Matter of fact, God comes to Solomon in the night in a dream and says, Solomon, you can ask anything that you want. I wonder if God came to you tonight and he would say, name whatever it is that you want. I wonder what we would name. I wonder if some of us might say, well, you know what? I'd like to have $1 million. Or maybe somebody would say, well, you know, man, I need a new big house. Or maybe I need this or I need that. Can I tell you, it wasn't a genie that was coming to Solomon, but it was the Almighty God that was coming to Solomon and saying, hey, whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that you want, all you have to do is name it, and I will give it to you. It is the same God that said, let there be light, and there was a sun and the moon and the stars. It is the same God that parted the Red Sea. It is the same God that broke the walls of Jericho. You can go all through the Word of God, and you can see the Almighty God having almighty power and being able to do anything that He wanted to do. That is the God that is asking Solomon, hey, whatever it is that you want, you name it, and you can have it. They say Solomon was just about 20 years of age at this point. Hey, when you're 20 years of age, you know, you're not real mature sometimes, and you let your desires overshadow some of your common sense. But we find that Solomon had great common sense. In verse number 9 of that chapter, 1 Kings 3, here is what he responded to the Lord. Give therefore thy servant a understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? I like what verse number 10 says. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon at a young age knew that if he was going to be a good king, Solomon at a young age knew that he needed wisdom and discernment more than he needed anything else. And when he asked God for that, it pleased the Lord. God said, because you've asked for that, that's what I'm going to give you. Verse number 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee, it shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all of thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then will I lengthen thy days. God says, you know what? I'm going to give you what you asked for, but I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for riches, and many people would have asked for riches. I'm going to make you rich, and we know that Solomon was one of the richest kings that has ever lived because you didn't ask for the victory over your enemies. I'm going to give you the victory over your enemies. Solomon, you are going to be wise. And then when you come to verse number 16 down through the end of the chapter, he's going to give us an illustration of that wisdom, and we read it. And the story goes this way, that there are two women. They're living in the same house. They're not married. They don't have husbands. And they get pregnant about the same time. They go through their pregnancy, and it comes time to deliver. And then one of the ladies, she delivers a child at home, without any help, without any medical aid, without any spinal things that they give women when they're having a birth. She just does it out natural. And then the Bible says that 3 days later, the other woman, she gives birth. And it's the same way. There's nobody in the house. The text says that there's no strangers. It's just these two women. And now they have two children. Now, I don't know how much time goes by, but probably there's a few days that goes by, and they go to bed at night. And when they go to bed at night, one of the children, no doubt, begin to cry. Have you ever had a child that had colic? I had a child that had colic, and I'm just telling you, it was crying all night long, every night for about 3 months, and you're ready to pull your hair out. Maybe that's why I don't have any hair. I don't know. But this baby started crying in the middle of the night. And perhaps this mother was tired, and maybe she had worked hard all of the day, and she was weary, and she was very sleepy. And when the child started crying, maybe she got up and she walked the floor with her for a little while, and maybe she got her to calm down. And instead of putting her in a different spot, she gets in the bed and she puts her beside her. And maybe she falls to sleep, and maybe she's a heavy sleeper. And in the midst of her sleeping, she rolls over on top of the child, and the child dies. The Bible says, the King James says, she overlaid. It means she laid on top of that. I have a niece that happened to. Just about 7 or 8 years ago, it was her first child, and she put the baby in bed with her that day, and she rolled over on that baby, and that baby died. The baby suffocated. Can I tell you that accidents still happen in our world today? We live in a world today where nobody thinks anything's an accident. Everything is on purpose. But you know what? We still live on in a world where there's accidents. You know, children still die accidentally. In 2018 to 2019, they say 7,420 kids died accidental deaths. In 2021, that number rose to 9,400 children that died accidental deaths. They say that the number one cause of infant deaths is suffocation. They say the number one cause of children between 1 and 4 years of age is drowning and motor vehicles accidents. They say the number one cause in children that are 11 to teenage years, the number one cause of those death is motor vehicle accidents. You've heard me tell about my best friend, David Anderson. When he was 12 years of age, had gone down to the tank, and they were shooting frogs, and they came back up, and they took the gun that they were shooting with, I believe it was a shotgun, and they laid it up against the wall, and that gun fell over and discharged and hit my best friend in the eye and killed him. That was an accident. Not everything's our own purpose. In our world today, there are still accidents. And I believe what is happening in this text is, you can read it, it's not her own purpose, it's an accident. And I know you can say, well, she should have took precautions. I understand all of those things. But I also understand that what took place with that woman laying on her child and her child dying, hey, it was not her own purpose, it was an accident. And I am sure that it ripped her heart out. Such the soul. When she woke up in the middle of the night, she maybe felt that baby, and that baby was cold. And she tried to find the pulse of that baby, and there was no pulse in that baby. And in her brokenness, she decided, you know what, I'm going to take my baby, and I'm going to tiptoe over here to the woman that has a live baby, and I'm going to switch babies, and she's not going to know the difference. And so she does that. She goes into the room where the other woman is, and I don't know how she did that, because I know most ladies that have babies, they're really light sleepers. Any kind of movement, you know, they're waking up and they're ready to go. But she was able to switch those babies out. And now when the woman that has the live baby, when she wakes up, instead of waking up to a living baby, now she wakes up and, first of all, she thinks her baby is dead. And she's broken. And no doubt she's crying and screaming profusely. But she begins to look across the room, and she looks at that baby that the other lady is holding, and she thinks, you know what? That looks like my baby. That baby's got some of the same characteristics. Maybe he's got the same color of hair. Maybe he's got the same kind of smile. You just know a woman, she knows her baby. She can, matter of fact, probably close her eyes and be able to tell her baby. There's just something about a woman's instinct. And she says, hey, that's my baby. And that other woman says, oh no, that's my baby. And then they get in this big argument. They get in this big conflict, and there's no way to resolve it. So they say, hey, we're going to go to the king, and we're going to let him determine whose baby this is. So they go to the king. And when they get there, they tell him the story. I would have never thought about how to determine whose baby it was, and perhaps you wouldn't have, but Solomon had just been given all of this wisdom. And Solomon says this, bring me a sword and bring me that baby that is alive. And he says, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this sword and I'm going to cut this baby that is living, that is alive. I'm going to cut this baby in half, and I'm going to give you half, and and I'm going to give you half. And you know, the mother whose child it was said, oh, no, don't do that. If it means that we've got to do that, give my baby to that other woman. And the woman whose baby was dead said, go ahead. Cut it in half. It won't make me any difference. Divide it. Let her have half and I'll take the other half. Everything will be okay. And Solomon, you know, says the woman that says, let the other woman have it, she is the real mother. As I was reading this text this week, one of the things that hit me was this. It's Mother's Day, and Brother Chris kind of alluded to it a little bit this morning. I thought he was fixing to preach my message, but he went on and went a different way. But Mother's Day is not a happy day for every woman. Mother's Day is not a joyful day for every woman. You know why? Number one is because some women have not been able to have children. When they were growing up, they had a desire to be married, and they had a desire to have the perfect home, and I'm sure they played house with having two and three and four kids, but when they grew and when they married, maybe a health issue or some kind of issue took place, and they were not able to have children. And you know what, on Mother's Day, they don't get that phone call that says, hey, Mom, I just want you to know that I love you. And they don't get that bouquet of flowers. They don't get to be taken out to eat. And they don't get all of the things that the other mothers get. And they have to sit back and they have to watch. And they put on a good face. And they know that it's just the way that life is. But I'm telling you what, when they see all of the other mothers enjoying their children and enjoying the happiness of Mother's Day, I want you to know that some mothers have a broken heart on Mother's Day. There are other mothers that have lost children. Maybe they lost a child in infancy. Maybe they miscarried or maybe they lost an adult child. And on Mother's Day, they just dream about that phone ringing and that son or that daughter that they lost calling them and saying, Happy Mother's Day. Maybe they just dream about that son or that daughter coming over to their house and taking them out to eat and them having a good time. But that phone call never comes. That bouquet of flowers never comes. That going out to eat never comes. And Mother's Day is not always a joyful and a happy day. When I was in high school, we had a young man by the name of Todd Moore. Todd Moore had a very severe case of arthritis. He was born with it. I believe it was rheumatoid arthritis. I'm not exactly the right kind, not exactly for sure, but he could barely walk. His little old elbows on the end had big old knots and stuck out. And old Todd was just he had such a good spirit. He was such a kind, he was such a gentle soul. And every day he would come to school and he would walk down the hall, and he had to walk this way. He couldn't walk very fast. And there was many days that he would come and you could just see that he was in pain and it was just a difficult day for him. But Todd was just a wonderful kid. He got to be the basketball manager and the football manager when we were in high school, and he got a letter jacket. They knew that he was going to die. He wasn't going to live a long life because his arthritis was going to claim his life. A year after we graduated in 1992, in 1983, Todd Moore died. His mom had taken very good care of him. They put him in his letter jacket in his casket. That mom had another son that was an exceptional athlete. He was a prime specimen of a human being. But when Todd died, she lost her purpose. She lost her sense of identity. It was just about 6 months after that Todd died that she took her life. I know people, and you know mothers, that have lost children. I can't sit here and speak experientially because all three of my children are alive. But I've walked the path, and I know Brother Chris has walked the path with moms that have lost children. And I'm telling you, there's no pain like it. There's no pain like it. And I want you to know, it's easy for us to look at this woman that went and traded the child. And listen to me, it's not right. Please, it's not right. She shouldn't have done it. It was a wrong thing to do. But I want you to know, I can kind of understand it in some ways. I want to give you, if you're in that situation, I want to give you three quick things tonight that I think will help you on this Mother's Day. And the first one is this, is that God comforts the brokenhearted. Turn to Him when it hurts. I love Psalms 34, verse number 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth, and He delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Psalms 51 and verse number 17, the Bible says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou will not despise. Psalms 145 and verse number 18, the Bible says, The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to all those that call upon Him in truth. Isaiah 57 and verse number 15, the Bible says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him that also is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 40 and verse number 29 says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Hey, when your heart is broken, when there's things in your life that you don't understand, where can you go and get comfort that's lasting and that's true? I'm telling you, the only place is go to the throne room of God. He's given us an invitation, come unto me in boldness. Come into me in boldness and pour your heart out to me. I was 40 years old before my heart got broken. And I'm telling you what, it got shattered. I poured my heart out to my mama, but you know what? When I did that over and over and over, she got tired of listening to me, but I just kept on talking to her and telling to her, and I talked to others. But I'm telling you what, my heart wasn't mended or didn't get any real comfort until I got on my knees and said, oh God, I'm broken. Oh God, I've got to have You to help me. I need Your strength. God, I've got to have You to mend my broken heart. Over and over and over in the Word of God, God says, hey, when you're broken, come unto me. And if you're here tonight and maybe Mother's Day is not a good day for you because of a number of reasons, can I tell you, you can find comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing is God knows what He's doing and His plan is always right. Trust Him. Isaiah 55, verse number 8 through verse number 11, you know this passage. The Bible says, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts higher than your thoughts. Proverbs 16 and verse number 4, the Bible says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Ephesians 1 and verse number 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his own counsel and his own will. Can I tell you, I don't understand everything in life. I don't know, understand everything that's happened to me. I can't wait to get to heaven and then sit down with the Lord and say, hey, why did you do this? And why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow that to happen? And can you show me the reason behind this? But until I get there, you know what I have to do? I just have to trust God that he knows what he's doing, and whatever he does, it's right. Whether I understand it or not, whatever God does, it's right. It's always right. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. All you have to do is understand that, hey, whatever God does and whatever God allows in your life, it's right and it's for your best. The third thing is this. Life is just a moment. Eternity is forever. What does James say? Life is just a vapor. Man, it's here for a little while, and then it's gone. It's hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? I mean, 70 years seems like a long time. But when you put it into eternity, it's like that. If you lost a child, it's just for a little while. Because for all of eternity, you get to spend with that child. My daughter has had 2 miscarriages. Long in the 7th and 8th months, I got 2 grandbabies in heaven that I've never heard their voice. I've never heard them say, hey, people. But you know what? One of these days, I'm going to get to heaven, and for all of eternity, I'm going to get to see those grandbabies. I love my friend David Anderson. Both of us were real small, and everybody picked on us in a lot of ways. And he was just a good friend to me. And you know what? For all of eternity, I'm going to get to spend with old David. We'll have to go down to the tank and shoot some frogs. No frogs in heaven. But you know what? Life here is just short. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. And this one lady here on this day was heartbroken. But right quickly, let's look at the other lady. Because she is an exemplary illustration of what a true mother is. She was selfless and she was self-sacrificing. When Solomon said, we're going to divide the child, the mother said, hey, I would willingly give up being a mother to that child if it means that it could live. Isn't that what Jochebed, Moses' mother, did? The Pharaoh had passed the law and said, hey, every male child that is born has got to be drowned in the river and has got to be killed, has got to be thrown into the river. And Jochebed said, you know what? I'm going to do everything that I can that my child will live. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to hide him. I'm going to keep him quiet as long as I can. And when the time she couldn't do that, then she built this little boat and she put him in the river. And she had no idea what was going to happen. She didn't know if she was going to be found out and if she was going to be put to death. She had no clue. She was just hoping that God would do a miracle. You know the story. She selflessly, sacrificially put that little child in a boat and put him in the river. And God did a miracle. She was willing to let someone else raise him. She was willing to let him live in another house as long as he got to live. What about Hannah? Most of the time, Mother's Day messages are preached on Hannah. She's such a wonderful woman. But you know, she couldn't have a child. And she goes to the temple and she's crying out to the Lord, "Lord, please give me a child." She's so brokenhearted that the priest Eli thought she was drunk and said, "Man, what are you doing in the temple? You're drunk." And she says, "No, I just want a child from God. If God will just give me a child, I'll give it back to him." And God did that. God gave him a child, or her child. Can you imagine what it was like? She kept him at home. The Bible, if you read that passage, the Bible tells us that she kept him at home and she winged him until he could kind of be on his own. Can you imagine that trek and the decision that Hannah had to make when she loaded up Samuel and said, "I'm carrying you to the temple. And you're going to live in the temple and I'm going to go home with her." That's sacrifice, isn't it? It's sacrifice. But you know, there was another thing about her love, is that it was unconditional. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you unconditionally? Can I tell you, I broke my mother's heart 2 times as an adult. I know you'd like for me to tell you why, but I won't. It's between me and my mom. But I'm telling you, I shattered her heart. Shattered. But you know what? She loved me anyway. She didn't say, "David, you hurt me. Don't come home anymore." Every time I'd call, that phone would pick up. And she would say, "Baby, why don't you come by and see me more? Mama, I'm busy. I don't have time. I love you." But you know what? Isn't that the way Jesus loves you? Unconditionally. I was thinking about this week. Is there any love that is more like the love of Jesus than a love of mother for her children? There's not. Us guys, you know what, we there's some really good guys, but we don't love like mama's love. Over the years, it's proven, you know, men can walk off and leave his family, leave his kids, and not even bother him. But you know, women can't do that. And you know what? Jesus doesn't do that for you either. He loved you so much that he went to an old rugged cross. He sacrificed himself so that you could have salvation. He sits in the heavens and he watches all the things we do, and there's all of us that has broken his heart with sin in our lives, haven't we? He doesn't write us off. He just says this: if you'll confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can I tell you, if you're here today, and today is a tough day, reach out to the Lord. And if you're here today and you've got children and you've got parents that are alive, thank the Lord that God's given them to you, and be all that you need to be for them. Lord, we love you tonight. God, my heart goes out to those in our congregation tonight that have lost children. Lord, I know that days like this can be very hard and difficult. God, I pray that you'd give peace. I pray that you'd give strength. I pray that you'd give encouragement today. And God, I'm thankful that I had a wonderful mother that taught me about you, that made church a priority in my life. And God, I can't wait till I get to heaven to spend all of eternity with her. And God, tonight I pray maybe there might be some that are here today and they don't understand the love of Jesus Christ. They've never experienced the free pardon of sin and forgiveness. God, I pray tonight that you'd open their hearts to your love and to your grace and to your mercy. I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.